Colossians 3:12 and following here. The Christian's new clothes. The Christian's new clothes. Of course, New York City is known for many things, but one of them would be design of clothing. My daughter Friday, she asked me in the morning if she could have one of my old shirts, and by the evening when I came back, she had made it into a skirt. What do you think about that? Isn't that great? I guess I'm just bragging, but that's just in the water in New York, I guess, that you're able to do these kind of things. Don't throw out your shirts. Give them to Hannah. No, don't do that. She's got work to do. But we think of clothes that are designed for a specific purpose. You may have clothes that you wear to church on Sunday. You may have clothes that you work in on Monday. Maybe you work in an area that you get extremely dirty. Or maybe you bake all day and you have to wear clothes that are designed for that, right? We have clothes that are designed for all kinds of purposes. I remember once, this was actually in seminary, I worked as a, I'll say, roughly speaking, builder. I was on a framing crew, and I realized very quickly that I needed a whole new set of clothes for that. I needed a nice tool belt with a heavy hammer. We needed a square that helps make cuts. I needed some heavy boots for stepping on nails. I needed water. I needed a water jug. Because the first day, I almost killed myself with it. Like, my horrible headache in the hot South Carolina sun trying to take all that on. But those clothes were necessary for that job. But you know what? The clothes did not make me a builder. I asked my boss. Now, I think I did okay after a year, but certain clothes don't make you a certain type of person, right? We could think of bowling. Bowling shoes do not make you a good bowler. And especially the case, I think, with bowling. I don't know, what are they for? They're a little tacky. I guess they're for maybe sliding on the lane, right? That helps you slide on the lane. But wearing the bowling shoes is probably the way to charge you more. You charge the fee for getting in, and then the fee for the shoes, and then the fee for the ball and the drinks. But anyway, bowling shoes don't make you a bowler. Framing shoes don't make you a framer. And we'll see the text today also, these Christian clothes that we talk about don't make you a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you will wear these clothes. If you are someone who is a Christian, you are someone who will wear these Christian clothes. And what we'll see in the text is Christian attitudes. He tells us to put on, and the illustration that comes to mind in that context is actually putting on clothing. This is the way this word would be used. Put on a certain clothing. As Christians, we're to put on a certain attitude, wear a certain attitude. I wish it was as easy as wearing a certain type of clothing. And in the past, maybe Christian circles have, and even to this day, they think, well, you wear that certain clothing and you're okay. No, it's not that. It's the attitude of the heart. He's been talking about things to put off, and we're not going to go all the way through this, but you just remember in verses 5 through 7, there were things to put off. The putting off of the immorality, verses 8 through 10 of Colossians 3, was the putting off of speech, and that actually pretty much contrasts the things to put on in this paragraph. But he's talking all about that hinge of the old man put off, and the new man put on, which is the new man, which is Christ. And that new man, Christ, has a certain attitude. And that's what we're to reflect today. So we're going to answer some questions from this text today as we walk through it. Four different questions. Who are the clothes designed for? What are the clothes? What are the wearing instructions for these clothes? And what is the primary coat that fits over all the clothes? Okay. And so just be patient. We'll work through it. Probably spend most of our time on questions 2 and 3. And the fourth one will just be kind of a summary. Okay. And this is just walking through the text, answering these questions. All right. So let's get to the text. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Who are the clothes designed for? Well, so are those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on, right? So that's our main verb, our main command, put on these attitudes. We have to ask, who is it that puts them on? And who designed them for them to put them on? Well, they are chosen of God. God is the designer of these clothes. He is the designer of these attitudes. He made them up for you. And he wants you to put them on as those chosen of God put on a heart of compassion. So they're important. How many of you have ever tried Stitch Fix? I never have, but it's interesting. You just kind of, you put down your size and the kind of clothes you want and your, I don't know, maybe your personality, and then they send you clothes. And then you keep the ones you want and you send back the rest or send them all back. And you're supposed to, I guess that person behind the screen knows you better than you do. That's it. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. You're trusting this designer. Well, that's on a physical level. On a spiritual level, we have this in God. And so let me just say, as you look at these clothes, and as I get to them in just a minute, you're going to kind of recoil at them a little bit. In your conscience, in your mind, you'll say, it's not for me, Tim. Okay, the Stitch Fix was delivered by God. I'm not coming up with this. The package is from God, okay? So just two thoughts about that. First of all, God is the designer, so we should trust his choice of clothes. If this is what God wants for you, then trust that it is good for you. If God wants me to exhibit these attitudes, wear these clothes, I'm going to trust him as my designer. I'm not going to design my own brand of Christianity. I'm going to follow God's brand of Christianity. And then secondly here, God is the designer, so we should not rebel against his choice. And that is where we probably in our heart, well, you might feel this resistance, right? The little kiddo or maybe the teenager who says, I don't want to wear that. Well, this may be you and your heart as we look at these. And let me just begin with this. God is the designer. So let's not rebel against him. Let's follow what he says. So who are the clothes designed for then? We looked at this last week a little. Who are the clothes designed for? He says they are the chosen of God. They are the holy and they are the beloved. These are the ones who are to wear these clothes. You are to put on these attitudes. You're to wear, to look like this attitude. And we'll get to that in a minute. Those of you who are chosen of God. This is a repeated theme in Scripture. See the verses there, John 13:18. I do not speak to all of you. Jesus is talking about his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles. And he says, I did not speak to all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats the bread has lifted up his heel against me. So as Brother Mookie was praying earlier, there is even in his followers one that he had not chosen. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Of course, that was Judas. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. Titus 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth. 1 Peter 1:1-2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens all over the world there, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. All right, there are these who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. And so those are, if you are one of God's, then you are to wear these clothes. The only merit of God's children is that they have no merit. God's choice is all of grace. Right? It's not that God chose me because I was so good. God chose me because I put on all the right clothes. I had the right attitudes and he had to let me into his family. No, it's all of grace. By grace you are saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Chosen by his grace. Next, you're holy. Set apart. This special, chosen and set apart to be special, and that is reflected in our attitude being holy, and often we think primarily of that connotation of holy, but it is that idea of special. And as we looked at last week, all three of these are ways that God referred to Israel, his chosen people, his holy ones, and his beloved. God has chosen us to be holy and loved. I love Q's poem, right? We sing this, chosen by the Father's mercy, set apart, right? That holy, set apart to serve his Son, sanctified, made holy by his own Spirit, praise the Holy Three in One, saved by resurrection power, shielded in his faithful love. Now no enemy can tarnish my inheritance above. I'm born again. I'm God's own chosen child of mercy. Born again, what love and grace. Father, keep me walking worthy till I look upon your face. Right, we see that as we recognize that this is God's choice of me to walk in this way. Right, it's not that I have worked to a certain extent and now finally God accepts me because I have changed myself. No, it's that he changes me from the old man to the new, and then I grow closer and closer to look like his Son. And so again, the clothes, I like this illustration, the clothes are not what gets you into the house. They're given to you now that you are in the family. You think of the prodigal son. This is where we all have to come to the point. We all have to realize that in and of myself, I'm sitting in the mud where the pigs are eating. And then I realize I just need mercy from the Father. Right? It's not the rebellious older brother who thinks they're good enough. It's, no, I cannot. I look down at my clothes by nature, and I'm not the way God wants me to be. I need forgiveness. I need a change of heart. And they're given to us in his family. They're earned and made by the perfect Son, Jesus. And so Jesus is not the elder brother, he's the eldest, the Son of God, who actually earns our perfection. And we come and the prodigal, the Father, is waiting. We come and he welcomes in and he says, give him these clothes. Beautiful picture. This sculpture here is actually done by Charlie Mackesy. I did not know this person. But beautifully portrays the Father welcoming the Son. And none of us are in the family because we, just make this clear before we look at him, because we changed and made ourselves okay to enter the home. I made myself righteous enough. Jesus is the only one righteous enough to come to the Father. Charlie was actually an atheist. Running for God, he was very famous even in his art, did stuff for Whoopi Goldberg, Sting, and he tells the story of coming to Christ. He was actually in a porta potty, and he hears people singing "Oh Happy Day," that hymn, and it just hit him. Oh happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And here he says, this crying, blubbering atheist received this message right there. He was an atheist 1 minute, and then he was in the home the next minute. You see the difference there? And then the the perfection of Christ is on him. The one who earned all our favor. Let's move on to the clothes themselves. The attitudes that we're to put on now. They're convicting attitudes. What are the clothes? Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is what we're to put on. Those of you who are born again from above, not on the working of your favor before God, that you actually earned it, but that he gives you the grace of Jesus, and those who are his will begin to reflect Jesus from the inside out. You'll have this heart of compassion, first of all. You will reflect Jesus' compassion through having a heart of compassion. Literally, it's interesting. You'll have the intestines of mercy. And maybe your translation says bowels of mercy, the King James there, right? This is, in that time period, the inner organs were used to refer to our seat of emotions. It's just the same today, right? We don't say our bowels, our intestines. I love you with all my intestines. We say what? I love you with all my heart. And then that's the idea here, with a heart, that inner heart that is one of compassion, of pathos, of mercy. It is able to look at others and feel with them, right? You walk a mile in their shoes. Are you able to do that? You're able to see things through their eyes, look through their glasses, and if you don't do that, you're looking down on this person. You're looking down on that person. But then if you follow their story and you walk with them, then you'll be able to recognize where they are. You feel with them. You feel for them. This is what Jesus would do. He would empathize. This is the Christian's clothes. This is what we're to put on, this feeling of empathy. Do you feel for others in their physical distress? When Jesus saw, this is actually talking about Lazarus, as he sees his sisters weeping, Mary and Martha, when he saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit, was troubled. There's that internal turmoil of soul because of what's going on in someone's relationships. Do you ever feel that? That is a Christian's clothes. When you see the horrors, the physical difficulties of others, you're touched with their grief. Jesus wept, and they said, look at how much he loved them. Sometimes we stop there, but Jesus went beyond there. Jesus felt for others in their spiritual distress. He saw the people in Jerusalem there, and he felt compassion for them because they were just... they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw these folks that were just living out their lives with no sense of God or living for God. And he was burdened for them. And he said, the harvest is plentiful. Pray for workers in the harvest. Jesus saw the spiritual needs of others. He looks out at New York City, at Queens, and he sees people just living for their job. Just living for the next paycheck, or the next high, or the next experience. What a horrible thing to live for. Living for self. There's so much deeper experience of life on the spiritual realm, knowing God. Living for God. Living my job for God. Living my family for God. And this is what the gospel brings, the light that God loves you and he wants to commune with you and have a relationship with you. And so our church needs people who are able to see around them and see people that are, yeah, well, boy, that guy has destroyed his life with consuming some sort of life-controlling addiction. And our hearts have compassion because they need Christ. Or that person who's destroyed their family because they're working 100 hours a week. Has denied their family. Like, they're just living for self. And you just realize that your heart is compassionate toward them. Only Christ can fill that. We find in Christ the solution to this distress around us. And we too pray like Jesus prayed. And so you have a heart of compassion. We'll look at these in these suit of clothes. Maybe we'll call this your shirt, because that's where your heart is. Your heart of compassion. Put that on. Put on a heart of compassion. Secondly, put on kindness. Put on a heart of kindness. Are you kind? You know, the Christian's attitude is one of kindness. Would anyone say this, that when you come into the room, the group, the atmosphere is easier to breathe? They're so kind, right? They come into the room and the atmosphere changes. Or is it the opposite? Jesus uses this word when he says, "My yoke is easy." He says, "You yoke up to me because the work gets easier when I'm yoked up with you." He's going to pull all the weight. It gives a good picture of what this word is talking about. That we're easy to be around. We don't add to people's weight by entering the room. You enter the room, they're like, "Oh no." Never should be in a Christian's testimony. And so we take off from us things that may make us hard to lift. This is from our next study that we're going to do, but these are things, and you can name about 1,000 more, that make us hard to lift. Being critical, controlling, lazy, grumpy, irritable, messy, critical. Twice there. Don't be too critical. Nagging, right? There's all these things in relationships make it heavy to be around. But by God's grace, we're to be kind. Would anyone say you are kind? Do you find ways to help others? Do you find ways to strengthen others? Do you find ways to make others feel welcome? Do you find ways to show your appreciation to others? Do you say nice things to others? This is the Christian's clothes. Say, "Tim, that's not New York. I don't care." Right? This is Christianity. And when we come into Christianity, we change from the inside out, and it makes a very different reflection by how we treat others in the household of God and at work and in our family. We are kind. Thirdly, well, let's see. Actually, I think we put this. I don't know. What are we going to? I called this the watch. I don't know why. You're always ready. You're watching for a way to be kind at all times. Whatever. We just have to label each one of these. So, put on kindness. Thirdly, put on humility. It's a combination word, the two words, low and thoughts, thinking lowly of yourself. A Christian is not high-minded. They don't think real highly of themselves. They think the same attitude that they should have before God, reflecting in the attitude of Christ. This is the way Christ was, right? Who, even though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. And so Paul tells us to put on that humility, that same attitude of Christ. This is our attitude, the normal attitude at the foot of the glory of God, and I think this is how all of these are put on greater as we get to know God more, as we look at God more. Think of Isaiah there, and really every time someone comes before God, Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King." When we see who God is, it's not we're always thinking about how bad we are, But we're like, you know, in response to who God is and everything that I have is given for him, I'm just really nothing. Everything I have is from God. And this is the proper understanding of who I am. It's a proper understanding of who all of us are at the foot of God. I have nothing in and of myself to boast about. Why would we boast of anything, to think anything of ourselves? Our sufficiency is of Christ. And so the Christian's clothes is humility, right? We get on our knees and we wear the clothes of humility, heart of compassion, kindness, and humility. Gentleness, another one that's so common in New York, right? Put on gentleness. That one, humility, it's good that I mentioned, was very countercultural in that day. That was looked down on, actually, not as a virtue, but as something you should, it was like considered weakness. And so no one would want their children to be of low of mind, humble. But he's countercultural, saying, no, the Christian is humble. We think the way God does. Then humility, gentleness. We're gentle with others. Gentleness, someone said, of attitude and behavior in contrast with harshness in one's dealings with others. Would anyone consider that you are gentle? Say, that person is just, that's the attribute I have for them. Their attitude is one, they're just gentle. I think of Jesus in this way. The prophecy of him says, a smoldering wick he will not extinguish, right? And then the idea is this match flame that's about to go out. Jesus is so gentle that he will not blow that out. He will extinguish it and make it brighter. And so I'm so thankful he treats us that way, aren't you? The broken twig, he's not going to break. He's going to mend it and make it better. In our own lives, God treats us this way, and we ought to treat one another that way. You see your brother that is faltering or sister that feels broken, we mend that limb. We try to restore them and lift them up and help them in a spirit of meekness and gentleness. Not pushing them around, not forcing them, but like a cheerleader, encouraging them in the faith. I love how Paul instructs young Pastor Timothy there in 1 Timothy as he talks to him about things in the church. He really challenges him on certain things. And look at this. Flee from these things. He's talking about greed there. You man of God, flee from these things. Fight the good fight of faith. Pursue gentleness. Isn't that great? Right, this is what we are to pursue as we fight the fight of faith and flee from lust. We pursue gentleness. So this would be the next clothing we're to wear, that of gentleness. I guess glasses that are gentle, whatever, helping you see, right? And then lastly, our patience, putting on patience. There's two words for patience. This one has reference to being steadfast or enduring under stress or difficulty. The Christian is able to endure. And so it's not a meekness that is weakness. It's a meekness that stands there and takes it. Round one, round two, round three, round four, round 12. The world, the flesh, the devil is pummeling you. And you're able to stand and endure it. You're still standing. These are the clothes of the Christian. They're able to stand in the face of difficulty. And often that is the difficulty that others bring your way. That difficulty that your coworkers bring or that life brings. But other people, you're able to stand in there and take it. Well, how are we to put these on? How do we put these clothes on? He gives us some instruction as we continue there in verse 13. There's two ing words that tell us how we're to put these on. These other words are adjectives describing all the clothes. And so we look at them and we say, those look great. Humility, meekness, gentleness. How am I going to do that with my brothers and sisters? Well, he tells you how to wear these out. This is how you wear them. First of all, by bearing with one another. If you're able to bear with one another, then you're able to put these on. This is the putting them on. How can I be humble? How can I be kind? How can I be patient? How can I make these clothes work in this world? By putting up with others. That's literally what he's saying. This is how you do this, by putting up with each other. You're going to have to put up with each other in church. It tells it like it is. There's going to be someone there that just says something inadvertently and it just kind of rubs you the wrong way and you just have to put up with it. That's what the text says. Bearing with one another. Maybe they have a hard day, they have a rough day, and they cut you off or they ignore you or they just sit there solemnly and you have to put up with that. Maybe they say something that's actually very hurtful. Do Christians ever do that? Sad to say, they do. You have to put up with that. It's not like the subway where you could just choose another car. Some people do that. And they just go from church to church. And then that person says something. Well, I'm going to go to that church. Well, that person says, I'm going to go to that church. Eventually, you run out of subway cars. So when it comes to the church, right, you have to put up with it. You're not going to like some things about me. I'm sorry. I'm changing. I'm putting it on. The attitudes of humility. But we're all in progression. And that person may be further behind in that than you are. And we put up with one another. There may be a new baby in the church. And there may be a lot of crying there. But they're just starting to put it on. The Holy Spirit is just starting to change them into the likeness of Christ, and we put up with that. We bear one another, putting up with one another, so we can replace curtness with kindness. We can replace cutting you down with building them up, snippiness with smiles, negatives with niceties. Have you ever tried that? So different. So different. It's Christian. Try it at work. It's totally odd. It's totally foreign because it's the new birth. It's not the first birth. The first birth is you give it to me. You see it on the subway. They're giving it back twice as hard. This is New Yorker. This is not Christian. You give it to me, I'm going to put up with it. And in fact, our next ing word, what does he say? Not just bearing up with one another. What does he say? Forgiving each other. And then he just gives this blanket statement. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, what do you think the Apostle Paul is going to say? All of you who have a complaint against someone, please come forward and lodge your complaint. Right? Wouldn't you think maybe he would say that? Anyone who has a complaint against anyone, what does he say? Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And he leaves it there. He doesn't go on and say anything else on the other side, which often we do make all these clarifications and, you know, maybe some clarifications should be given. But in this text, he just says, you have a complaint against someone, release them, forgive them, release them from that in this manner as the Lord forgave you. At the root of this word forgive, there's a couple words for forgive, but at the root of this one is the word grace. We find here the actual meaning of forgiveness, right? To forgive is not earned, it's granted. It's not earned, it's granted. And this is what Jesus does for us. It's not that Lord Jesus, look, I did all of these good things. Now you can accept me into heaven? No, it's grace. It's all of grace. His forgiveness is all of grace to you today. You can have it because of Jesus, and our forgiveness to one another is because of grace. It's all of grace. Let me just read these verses and let them sink in and we'll move on. But listen to Jesus the way he says this. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. This is the clothing of every Christian. And if you're not wearing this, this is what he's saying. If you're not wearing this clothing, you're not Christian. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. All right, so there is that. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Seven times a day. And this is our response. Increase our faith. How could I ever do that? Seven times a day? Seven times a day. The Lord gives us strength to forgive. Now, if I'm out of time, but just one quick clarification. If I give you my van and you go out and use it, and you know what, you say, what would happen if I took this van 50 miles an hour and shoved the gear into reverse? Wonder what would happen. And you do it. Totally destroys the transmission in the engine. And you say, Tim, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I repent. I am to forgive you. Anyone who has. That's so silly that you did that. And I rebuke you. And you ask for forgiveness and I forgive you. I am probably not going to let you borrow my next car. Okay? And I totally forgive you. Okay? But there are repercussions, right? If someone abuses my children in some way, like, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to let you around my kids. Okay? So there's repercussions, and we understand that in wisdom. But that doesn't mean you've got to release them. And as you release that person for that thing, you're actually releasing yourself. Right? The holding them does nothing but hold you down. The shackles you think you have on them, they don't even know. It's actually the shackles that are on you, the shackles of the roots of bitterness. And it's chaining you spiritually. And so today, through Christ, you can say, Lord Jesus, you have forgiven me for everything. I release that person from them, like doing something extremely difficult to you. It's so freeing. The gospel is so freeing. As you look at Jesus and all the forgiveness you've been given, you look at that person who hurt you and you release them. And you are freed from the spirit of bitterness. That's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Well, we're out of time. The ending here, I guess you could say, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And the picture really is, in the original, the text says, upon all of these things. And that's why I say it's a clothing metaphor. He's like, you put on this, you put on this, you put on this, you put on this, and then over all of those things, your overcoat, right? So you put on all of these things, and then over it all, you put on what? Love. The overcoat of all what makes it all work is this one thing called love. Agape love, that you're not about Tim, you're about others and God. That we've died to self, and we live completely for Christ and others. Totally different way to live. Beyond all these things, upon all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And as we're doing this, as we're growing in all of these ways of humility, gentleness, kindness, patience, heart of compassion, we're easier to live with and there's less to forgive. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know if you saw this. This was actually from a year or two ago. Two young men were arguing over the Bible, and one of the officers said it was over an issue of forgiveness, the idea of forgiveness, and one of them shot the other, literally. The world notices both when the Christian is consistent with wearing these clothes and when they are not. That hit headline news because it's horrible. Because these guys, they're arguing about a Bible verse. Wrong clothes. On the opposite side, we have Nadine Collier. daughter of Ethel, a 70-year-old lady who invited a young man into her Bible study in her church in Charleston. And that man shot Ethel. Nadine came to the arraignment, looked at him that shot her mom, and said, "I forgive you. You took something very precious from me. I will never talk to her again. I will never ever hold her again, but I forgive you. And have mercy on your soul." That is an amazing testimony to these clothes. There is no explanation for that. No explanation for that. Except God changes our hearts to forgive even the greatest of atrocities done to us supernaturally through his power. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you if you have his forgiveness. If you're exemplifying these clothes, but if you would look down and you would say, "You know, I have never worn any of this," then you know what the Bible says? You're not a Christian. You may have been born in a Christian family, but if you've never exemplified any kind of kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with others, forgiving others, then you're not a Christian. And it's not because they make you a Christian, it's because they reflect your heart. But God can change you today if you would call upon him. Jesus died to take away the penalty for your sin, and you can ask him for forgiveness right now in the quietness of this moment. Let me encourage you to do that. Let's all repent where we find ourselves falling short in one of these areas. Ask for grace to consistently put this on this week. Just a moment, I'll close in prayer, but take a few moments to ask the Lord to change us in these ways. If you'd like spiritual counsel, I'll be in the back lobby just a minute, and then Pastor Andrew will come and close us in prayer. You don't know the Lord as your Savior, or you'd like to pray about one of these things, asking someone for forgiveness, I encourage you to release that person now. But if you'd like counsel about that, please meet me in the back lobby. We pray together about it.